If thine eye be single, thy whole body will be lightsome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not sure exactly why it is that, well, I do know why it is that I'm offering this Mass instead of your pastor. I tried to prevail upon him that he should be the one offering it, as it's a very big feast here within the parish, and St. Martin has been highly praised here for some time. But the greatness of his largesse has extended a kindness to me for this particular Mass. Your good pastor has given us 9 very beautiful videos on the life of St. Martin, explaining in the writings of St. Severus the beautiful things of this great saint. So I won't impart those to you, but rather reference you to go visit those. There's great spiritual wisdom there found in, and great wonder. The writings of the saints, these legends of the saints, help you and I to be raised higher. These legends of the saints remind us that God's work is powerful in those who seek his face. We see this so greatly within the life of St. Martin. In fact, if you are to believe those who have gone before, they tell us that because the life of St. Martin led so radically conform to the form of Christ so early on in the life of the Church, that indeed the Church wasn't sure exactly what to do with this St. Martin of ours. They knew that he was holy, but up to this point it seemed very rarely to honor it within the liturgy any of the saints who weren't martyrs, who weren't apostles, who weren't these early figures within the Church. But then in Martin they saw something that was powerful, and before all they saw that God truly was with him. Dying so blessedly as he did, said, surely this man is in heaven, having done great work here on this earth. Will he not continue to do so for us, even if he was not able to testify with his life by suffering the great victory of martyrdom? And so acclaiming one so great as he, chose to honor him within the liturgy of this feast. St. Martin is renowned for so many miracles, renowned for so many graces. At his youth, he was given to a life within the army, and from that he sought to dedicate his life to God, but his parents would not have it. And so he went on in obedience to them, though already at a young age, having been converted, though being a catechumen. And when his time within the army had come to a close, what do we find in St. Martin? That having served well, served honorably, and noticed by all for being one of great virtue and also great valor, having completed his last trial, everyone receives their spoils of war, their payment, their salt for being a soldier. St. Martin turned to his commander and said, I don't want any of this. Distribute what it is that I have been given to another. Rather, let me go, for I wish to only be a soldier for Christ henceforth. His superior officer, thinking that this was something of shame, this lacking of courage, for they were on the eve of battle, said to him, if you think that because of a lack of courage that I will allow you to go, I cannot allow such lack of discipline to be within my army. So our great saint, St. Martin, turned to him around him and said, I will fight only for Christ, for I fight only for him. And so that you may see that my heart is pure and that it is not because of a lack of manly courage that I do not go forward into battle, go ahead, send me forth. I will go forth at the head of the army, there leading the troops with neither sword nor armor upon me, and my God will protect me. And seeing this a bit of folly, as well to discourage anybody else who would have like ideas unto Martin, he conceded and allowed him to do so, waiting to see the slaughter that would befall this one who was there, and thereby strengthen his army by the quickness in which he was torn down. And what do we see that happened? That there at the edge of battle, as everything was getting ready to go forward, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the opposing army sued for peace. There was no battle that day. God interceded and worked a great miracle on behalf of his servant. Now, we should not think that because St. Martin was spared that battle that day, that God couldn't have saved him from that, nor could he have done an even greater miracle by allowing him to be among such barbarous forces and still come out unscathed. For such indeed is the power of God, and we see like-mannered things done in other lives of the saints. But also that God does not wish always to be put to the test. And so he allowed this great favor to go forward before him so that he would not even have to face the heat of the battle. So Martin was released, instantly taking upon himself a life to live the life of a holy monk. We began the sermon with the quoting of this particular passage of St. Luke. What does St. Luke teach us? He reminds us the words of Christ, which he speaks there within the Sermon on the Mount, also in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, where he says that no man lights a candle and places it under a bushel, but rather puts it out so that it may be viewed and seen by all. But the light of your body, then, is your eye. And if your body be single, then the whole of your body be lightsome. What does that mean? If your eye be single, then the whole of your body will be lightsome. The word phrase there, single, means that if the whole of your body be focused on, the whole of your eye be focused on one thing, not with a divided heart, but focused on one single thing, that is God himself, what then the light will do, what the eye will do, being focused upon that one thing, will fill the entirety of the body. What is, when we read of the ancients, they speak about the eye touching a thing. You read about this in Aristotle in his great works. That the eye goes out and touches the thing, and then brings that object into itself, into its mind, into its person. And so seeing takes a thing into oneself. And this is why we have to be careful at the things in which we look. For if a man look upon impure things, what goes into him? Impurity. And that impurity remains with him long after the eye looks to other things. For that thing is taken into the self. And so it must be purged by many purgings, sufferings, and suffrages offered up to God, asking that the Lord God may purify his memory where such filth and impurity is stored. Indeed, this is why many struggle long after they've turned their life over to God with impurity, because the impurity of days former still leaves its treasures, filthy as they are, within the person and must be purged out. So our Lord speaks to us and says, your eyes must be single. Single focused on that thing which is most important. Do we not see that in the life of St. Martin, that after his conversion, after he's able to do so, all he does is become a monk? To be a monk is to be one who is focused on one thing, the only thing that matters. To be focused upon God himself, apart from the world, hiding with the Lord. And what's the result of that monastic life? Our brother monk could tell you, as he's here with us, that the life of the monk being single, focused on one thing which is not but the Lord, even the very body becomes lightsome. This is a word that we do not use often here, but it has two meanings, archaic though it may seem. What does the word lightsome portend for us? Lightsome, in its first definition, speaks to us about being characterized by light, or to be luminous, or to be emitting or manifesting light. Another way of saying that is to be radiant. To be radiant. And so it is the lives of all the saints, that they are characterized by light within their lives. They become luminous beings themselves, emitting light, manifesting light, so that when others look upon them, they see not merely Martin, they see not merely the person who went in, but they see something which is transformed, which attracts, radiates. And so too, as the sun, those who are the saints of God, those who are the holy ones, because the light which manifests within them, are able to scatter the darkness of those who are around them. We see this totally within the life of this blessed saint. When he was finally called out of his monastery, when he was within the monastery, he attracted so many to him who saw the great works of God within this simple monk who only wanted to be focused upon the light of God himself. So much so that they pulled him out of that monastery by trickery and forced him to become their bishop. And when doing so, there he began the greater works of light, where everywhere he went, he cast out the darkness, where he pushed out that which was evil, where he called out those things which were pagan and those things which were demonic, and through his own person of light, through the great miracles which were manifested unto him, which you can read within the legends of this great saint, many souls came to conversion. We might think to ourselves, well, how did he bring about their conversion? Was it because he took their sacred trees and chopped them down himself? Was it because he was one who went out there and with great force attacked them such that they would no longer believe in their evil demonic ways? No, it was because the lightness of his countenance, because the joy in which he manifested himself, because the force of the words which he spoke, and the conversion of light to which life to which he witnessed by his life, for the most part, it was through these things that they decided to give up their former ways and so won a people to Christian faith, so that it was not he who went there and wielded the axe to destroy their wicked demonic worship, but rather they of their own selves saw that these things were far from where they desired to be, being converted interiorly, and so though more often than not it was they who chopped down their own sacred oaks and turn to the right and true worship. We can take note of that within our own lives, that if we truly live converted lives, if we truly are single-minded within our ways, that it is not by force of word or attack or argument that we win souls by violence to Christ. No, that rarely ever works, but more hardens the sinner within their own path. but by the lightness, the love, and the joy lived out in the Christian, that indeed shows a greater light that attracts all, so that they willingly give up their deeds of darkness and seek to enter into a joy, ultimately, which has no end. Again, the second definition of this lightsomeness that is characterized of those who are single-mindedly focused upon God would be to be characterized by lightness of weight. That's what it means to be lightsome, to be not heavy, rather to be nimble and to be active. It says to be cheery, to be upbeat, to be light and graceful in one's actions. This is what it means to be lightsome. This is the lightsomeness that our Lord indeed calls us to. To not go around with a heavy countenance, to go about with a dreariness that is about us, to not go around with the weight of the world hanging down upon us. A challenge to you. How many of you, the first thing when you wake up within the morning or shortly thereafter, go to check the news of the world? Or sadly, sometimes even worse, to check the news of the church? When you view such things, does that make you lightsome? Does that make you cheery in disposition? Does it leave you with a nimbleness, an activeness? Does it allow you to be graceful in the rest of your day, or does it make you cumbersome to yourself and to others who are around you? If it does the latter, you must put that away from you. To be lightsome means to be single-mindedly focused upon Christ himself, not on the news of what's going on, even within the church and those things around. If what you read does not lead you immediately to prayer, put it aside. Focus upon those things which are most important, and you'll find that you do greater good within this world, within your family, within your life. And it is by these things that you will win souls for Christ, not with that heaviness which is unbefitting of a Christian, and indeed is a bad example to co-religionists and to the world at large. St. Martin lived this out in a great way, which is why he was able to do so many miracles. We can see that even when the world comes against those who are bishops of the church, those who are doing well, that we are to be lightsome within our own selves and to trust that our God is greater than all these things, is he not? So much greater. Single-mindedly, we must put ourselves all the more to engage within the right works so that we can see the great works. When we look at the life of St. Martin, we see the miracles, we wonder, we read about the legends, say, wow, what if it were like somebody who is with us among us in these days? Why wonder about the things which could be? Why not become single-minded like he, and see if our Lord chooses to grace even through ones like thee, or through your intercession, raise up one who is greater, who would be able to do such great marvels. Recall that our Lord speaks true when he says, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, or he spoke to his disciples and said to them and to their descendants that you will do even greater things than I myself have done. If we see them not in this day, it's because we carry not lightsomeness within us, but rather the heaviness of the world, and so easily distract ourselves from the good which souls of former days were so much more given into. One final note of a sadness. We see within the life of St. Martin, watch the videos of your good pastor, you'll see him read about this, that there was one thing within his life that caused St. Martin not to do many miracles. Do you recall what that was? St. Martin, because of a particular struggle within his life, even he himself recognized that his power to do great works of God was lessened because of this one instance. We read about there were a group of bishops who were conspiring to do evil, who were conspiring to turn souls away from God, seeking Arian ways, seeking only things more so of the flesh. There was a particular king who wished to rally so that those who opposed him might be destroyed, proven to be heretics through an inquisition, and then slaughter everybody indiscriminately, Christian and non-Christian alike, because at that time they were roving hordes that they would send out, not so much military discipline as we would have in these days. And so through many acts of trickery, he tried to deceive others so that he could go out and do his way, and finally the king did so, dispatching his own troops. Martin could not imagine that such innocents would be slaughtered, and so they demanded the one thing which Martin sought not to give most, which was to put himself in league, saying that he was in communion with these wicked bishops. And looking at the destruction on one side and the signing of a single piece of paper on the other side, please pleaded to God and asked for grace that no evil would come of this, and sided with those who would do evil among the bishops. And so what happened is that the forces were recalled and innocents were spared. He went to celebrate the sacred mysteries and immediately afterwards departed, failing to sign the actual document, though the troops still were pulled back. On the way back, we read about how he was so sorrowful at what he had done. So, turning to God, he asked for mercy. An angel was dispatched to him and said, yes, you indeed did do evil, But God understands why in which you did the evil in which you did to spare life. And so take courage. The Lord has not left you entirely. He resolved from that very moment, never again, no matter what the cost was, to ever side with those who would do evil, not even for the sake of preserving life in this way. But he remarks, and many others remark beyond it, that for a great while he was unable to do so many great works of God because of his one instance of turning to side with those who do evil. Something for us to ponder within our own lives. How easily do we side with those who do evil rather than rebuking the lie which is there before us, but out of a sense of compassion or for a way of just going forward, give in? If you wonder why your prayers are hindered, or why many difficulties are put before you, why light is not given you in particular situations for a great while there afterwards, wonder no longer. It is because of such actions, placing ourselves in league with others. And so it is with all those in positions of authority, priests, bishops, and beyond, who side with those who are evil. They are not able to do good and nor able to see the light clearly because of those prior pacts with those who do falsehood, who preach against the truth. And so we can pray for those who are prelates and those who are above our priests, that they would not make a covenant with mediocrity, that is a mediocre way of living, as well as those who are seeking secular ends against the teachings of the truth, of the church, that they would resist strongly, no matter what the cost may be to themselves personally or to others, and thereby will be able to see the light, and thereby be lightsome themselves, cheery even in the midst of great heaviness which surrounds them and seeks to oppress them. Let's pray especially for those who are in high places who are thus persecuted in these days, trusting that God, who is greater than all, works great works through such saints just as our blessed Martin, great bishop of the church, and by doing so, standing firm unto the end, may see God's glorious works visit upon themselves, but also upon those placed within their care, even should they be exiled, and come to a blessed end, and we encouraged by their lives of virtue. Martin, patron saint of those who stand for the truth, lightsome soul, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.